earlier this week, the part of the IRS connected with Kansas held the Kansas Practitioner Liaison Meeting. During that time, people from the departments in Stakeholder Liaison, Shareholder Partnership Education and Communication, the Taxpayer Advocate Service, Field Collection, Field Examination, and Appeals gave updates on recent developments within the IRS.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
The Kansas Practitioner Liaison Meeting used to be held in person, but now it is a conference call that has since converted to being a conference call in order to keep costs low for travel with the IRS. The Stakeholder Liaison Division seems to organize the liaison meeting, and the first item of discussion is the Issue Management Resolution System. The Issue Management Resolution System seems to be a stakeholder liaison counterpart to the Systemic Advocacy Management System, SAMS, that is in place with the Taxpayer Advocate Service. It sounds to be a way for practitioners to contact the stakeholder liaisons in order to let them know about systemic issues in dealing with the IRS. Now, the stakeholder liaisons did want to know if there were issues from the shutdown. They reminded us that there is a backlog related to the shutdown, but were stating that the returns are being processed and refunds are going out. The tax season is flowing smoothly, and it is good news that with all of the new interpretations of tax laws that came in place from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that the new forms have been tested, they were processed smoothly, and there have been no major issues. Next, the stakeholder liaisons discussed the tax reform new due diligence requirements, that the income phase out for the child tax credit has significantly increased, that an eligible child for the child tax credit must have a social security number, and that valid social security number is required to qualify for both the non-refundable and refundable credit portions, that a social security number is not required if an individual qualifies for the credit for other dependents. Now, there has been due diligence requirements and penalties established for claiming the head of household filing status for tax year 2018 and beyond. They did mention that the due diligence preparer penalties, those apply to paid preparers and employers of paid preparers. They apply to the earned income tax credit, the child tax credit, additional child tax credit, and the credit for other dependents, also the American Opportunity Tax Credit, and the head of household filing status. Now, the penalties are $520 for every violation. So each of those credits or the head of household filing status that a paid preparer has done in an incorrect fashion, that is a violation of the due diligence preparer requirements, will bring a separate penalty each of $520, and there is no limitation. Now, the stakeholder liaisons did mention that if you are concerned about your withholding from 2018, that it is always good to do what they term a paycheck checkup, but to review your withholding to see that you're having the right amount of tax withheld for 2019. So that can be found on the IRS website at irs.gov/withholding, that they do have their own IRS withholding calculator there. Next, Stakeholder Partnership Education and Communication talked about the Earned Income Tax Credit Awareness Day. Earned Income Tax Credit claims in Kansas in 2017 were 202,000, and in 2018 were 196,000. In Missouri, for 2017 were 486,000, and 2018 were 474,000. So there has been a decrease in earned income tax credit claims that the IRS does urge eligible people to submit for the earned income tax credit. Next, our local taxpayer advocate, Tracy Wilnard, spoke. She reviewed the criteria for the taxpayer advocate service. She discussed that Nina Olson is retiring, but she recently submitted her report to Congress, and then next turned to a review of the 2018 filing season, that taxpayer experiences during the season were the impact of several changes from the PATH Act of 2015, that false positive rates increased in 2017, there were more injured spouse claims, an increase in pre-refund verification cases, and a decrease in identity theft cases. So by that, the IRS froze refunds to verify that people were eligible in order to claim their amounts on their tax refunds, that the IRS verified that and were partially able to decrease identity theft cases in the process. She next spoke about taxpayer data breaches, tips on what to do in those instances, such as acting quickly, contacting your local stakeholder liaison, and then going to the Data Theft Information for Tax Professionals page on the IRS website. Next, she discussed the Taxpayer Advocate Service Tax Reform Changes website, where the National Taxpayer Advocate and her staff worked on providing summaries and various ways that people could learn easily on what changed from 2017 to 2018 with the tax reform. Then at this point within the discussion, I spoke during one slide about the merits of the low-income taxpayer clinic program and the specifics about my clinic with Kansas Legal Services. Then she wrapped up about the taxpayer advocate service. We had a roundtable discussion where the stakeholder liaisons asked about issues during the tax season, seeing if the paycheck checkup was working for clients, whether they had Revenue Code Section 199 Cap A issues, and the practitioners reported that they had submitted amended returns that were not being timely processed, so something for the IRS to look into and improve their processing time for those amended returns. Next was a discussion from field collections. You'll be doing visits from revenue officers in the field. Now, one thing of note is that every revenue officer will have two forms of ID with them. One will be a smart ID that will have a photo and an employee identification, and also a pocket commission with their name. The employee can also provide a phone number to verify their IRS employment. So those are some tips on verifying in the field if the person is actually an IRS employee. Now, she said that nominee or successor situations are on the uptick, that when a business closes one federal tax identification number and gets a new one, they are trying to start over as a business, that the IRS wants the new business to take on responsibility for the old one. Another item of discussion is passport revocations, that once the issue is resolved, the IRS will notify the State Department of the resolution that the individual is no longer seriously delinquent. Now, that threshold is owing $250,000 to the IRS. Some ways that an individual can resolve their issue is by an installment agreement or an offer in compromise, that if the individual owes the $250,000, that they can call in on the issue, they would be referred to a call site, but if they're owing over $250,000, then that is sent to an IRS agent who is prompted to the field to work on the case. At that point, field examination started speaking about the tax year 2018 field exam priorities. Those are abusive promoters and transactions, the research and experimentation credit, flow-throughs, offshore tax evasion and OVDP, national research programs, preparer visits and examinations, and identity theft. For abusive promoters and transactions, if there is an individual that you need to report, use Form 14242. The research and experimentation credit is Internal Revenue Code Section 41. The credit qualifications include a Section 174 test, the Technological Information Test, Business Component Test, and Process of Experimentation Test. Now, that research and experimentation credit, it is technological in nature. It is regarding a new or improved business component. So it is not for everyone to claim that they need to meet those tests in order to qualify. Flow-through partnership entities, the IRS is still implementing their audit procedures, but that is on the horizon. Regarding offshore tax evasion, the IRS is stopping offshore tax avoidance. They have case resources of treaty exchange of information between countries, private banking initiatives, the Department of Justice's Swiss bank program, and cases from other sources. Individuals need to comply with the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act and the IRS 2012 Offshore Voluntary Disclosure Program has been successful in bringing about compliance. Now, there is the National Research Program. This is, in a sense, the jury duty of audits, and it was mentioned that it can be painful for both the client and the auditor, but it also helps the IRS to get more data on what they need to do for compliance modeling and getting better data on taxpayer compliance. Preparer visits and examinations, those are enforcement-focused visits, and quite a bit of them are focused on the earned income tax credits. They're using this to improve earned income tax credit compliance and have implemented different procedures in order to make sure that taxpayers are filing correctly for the earned income tax credit. In combating identity theft, the small business and self-employed examination in the field, they are working to stop preparers engaged in identity theft and other improper return preparation conduct. The Criminal Investigation Division is working to stop preparers engaged only in identity theft and improper conduct. And there are a specialized unit in accounts management. Next, he spoke about the Appeals Fast Track Settlement Program. If you request that program, the case is assigned to a mediator with the Appeals Department. It can bring about faster resolution in 60 days, but it still keeps the appeals rights open. Both sides have to agree, so if either side believes that the resolution is unfair, they can refuse. At this point, the meeting turned to appeals, and they followed up about fast-track mediation, saying that those can also be done over the phone. They do not have to be done in person, especially if clients would have to travel a long distance to get there. In speaking about recent tax cases, they did mention the penalty approval form for accuracy-related penalties to be added, that managers need to sign off on those penalties. Turning to marijuana forms, that if individuals are selling marijuana, that the cost of goods sold is very important, that they need to report the cost of goods sold. And for protective claims, that is an issue that a service center will often send out a claim disallowance letter if a protective claim has filed, but that disallowance letter starts the 2-year expiration date for the protective claim based on the date of that letter. Following that, if you send in the protective claim to appeals, they will often then send back that claim to the service center, but the burden is on the taxpayer whether they are filing in court or dealing with the IRS within that protective claim. So if the claim comes back to appeals, they cannot do anything if the two-year expiration date has passed, that it is easy for them to get an extension of that denial letter, but that needs to happen. If it does not and the two-year expiration date has passed, then there is nothing more that appeals can do. These were some items that were discussed in the Kansas Practitioner Liaison Meeting. I thought that some of this might be interesting news for you. Maybe there is a piece on this that will help you out. So I hope that you gain something from this. If you are a professional within the tax field but do not know about practitioner liaison or other liaison meetings, I would recommend that you reach out to your local stakeholder liaison within the IRS and see if you are eligible to take part in any meetings. This way, you can learn more about the IRS from those departments especially. So thank you. I hope you are doing well within the current tax season. I would remind you, if you are in a low-income taxpayer clinic, that our grant report is coming up at the end of the month. So despite those things, I hope everything is going well. Talk to you next episode. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.